a lion and a cheetah were in a race. The cheetah won. And the lion says, "You a cheetah." And the cheetah says, "You a lion." We're talking about being filled with and guided by and walking in the Spirit of God. And when we're in that place that we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, but we've also discovered through experience and through God's Word that sometimes the peace goes away. We found out that there are some catapults that take us out of the God zone. The first catapult we find that takes us out is life's trials. What's the second one? Disobedience. Thank you very much. And what's the third one? Fleshly appetites. And the fourth one? Strongholds. Good. Thanks, Mike. You have your notes. Number five, satanic attacks. And that's what we're talking about today. I know this is a weird series to be coming right at Christmas time. Normally we're talking about, you know, Christmas and the birth of Jesus but I didn't finish my series, so we got to finish. This passage of scripture that says, "Stay alert, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that we have victory in our lives over the enemy who is trying to destroy our souls. We have victory over the enemy. Last week we talked about a person's authority, a Christian's authority, power and authority, that the Lord has given them, He has given us. And so as long as we walk in the Spirit, we have victory. Okay? As long as we walk in the Spirit, we have victory. It says, "Watch out, for the enemy of our souls is trying to devour us." In the passage of Scripture, there's actually a story in 1 Kings 13 of a young prophet. I used to be a young prophet, now I'm an older prophet. But at one time, there was this young preacher. He came to, he was from Judah, he came to Bethel where King Jeroboam was offering sacrifices by the altar. He wasn't himself, but he was there by the altar. And the young prophet came to King Jeroboam, and he gave him a prophecy. And because Jeroboam was not the greatest king, and he did not like what the prophet said, he did not like what the preacher said. And so he held out his hand, and he told his guards to grab him, put him in prison. Well, when he held out his hand, his arm shriveled. It was kind of like petrified wood. He was scared to death. And so he asked the prophet, "Please pray for me. Restore my arm." And the young prophet prayed for him. His arm was restored. And the king said to the prophet, "Come home with me and let's have dinner together. I would like to visit with you some more." And the young prophet said, "The Lord told me to come and give you this prophecy." And he said, the proof that this prophecy is true is this altar is going to be split. And as he was speaking, the altar split. And he also said that the Lord has told me that I'm not to return the same way I left, or that I came, and I'm not to stop and eat with anyone. I'm just to get right on back. And so he left, the young prophet did, started on his way home. There was an old prophet that lived in Bethel. And there was two of his sons that were there when this young prophet began to prophesy over the altar and prophesy regarding Jeroboam and his descendants and what was going to happen to them. And so they ran back and told their dad what they saw. And so this older preacher went out and he said, which way did he go? He said, well, he went down this way. And so the old prophet got on his donkey and he took off trying to find this young prophet. Found this young prophet. He said, man, I heard what you did. I'd like to visit with you. Come home and eat with me. And the prophet said, no, the Lord told me not to stop, not to eat. I'm to get right on home. This is what the older preacher said, and he was lying. He said, well, the Lord told me that you're to come home with me and eat. Young prophet listened to the old preacher rather than listening to the Lord. Went home with him. They had a meal together, visited a while, and the Lord spoke to the old preacher. Said to the old preacher, tell the young man that he's not going to make it home because of his disobedience to the Lord. They finished eating. The young prophet got on his donkey, headed out, and before he got home, there was a lion that attacked him, killed him. The lion didn't attack the donkey. The lion didn't eat the prophet. The lion just stood there beside the man, beside the donkey. The old prophet found out about it. He heard about it, that everybody had seen this young prophet on the side of the road. The old prophet came by, found the young man still lying there, saw the donkey still standing there, and the lion standing beside him. The old prophet picked up the young prophet, took him home, and buried him. It's a sad story. When I get to heaven, if the Lord allows me to, I'm going to ask some questions. Why didn't the old prophet get something happen to him? I'm curious about that. Yeah, he is, Scott. He is a cheetah. But what I gain from that is that we are protected as long as we're in the God zone, as long as we're in obedience. But the enemy has an advantage if we're not in the God zone. That doesn't mean every time we get out of the God zone that we're going to face the enemy attacking us. But it does mean that there's the potential of that happening. Does that make sense? So that's why we are told in Peter tells us, stay alert, keep watch, because your adversary, the devil, is seeking whom you may devour. We need to be alert, be awake for that reason. This young prophet's armor slipped off. He was armored up, armor slipped off. Has your armor ever slipped off? Okay. I think all of us, maybe our belt of truth got unbuckled. Maybe told some lies or received lies. You know, maybe our breastplate of righteousness kind of fell askew and some darts were able to penetrate us. Scripture tells us that we have armor that we need to put on. And we have to put it on. It's not just given to us. We have to put it on. So we find that in Ephesians chapter 6. You can go ahead and bring that passage up. We're not going to read it all. I'm just going to tell you what the armor is. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's the armor. Stand your ground. Stand your ground, having your armor on. It's important to have your armor on. I'll just tell you a story. So years ago, like 40 years ago, I was in the Dalles doing a revival service. I was in the, as we were there one Sunday morning, it was a really difficult service. Monday morning, so we had revival service Sunday night. It was a difficult service Sunday night. Went to the pastor's office for prayer the next morning, and as we were there, the pastor said, there's a lady who visited our church last night that I'd like for us to go visit. Okay. He said, but you need to know she's a witch. Well, I wasn't quite as eager to go visit. But this thought came to mind. Pray on the armor. And so I thought, that's probably a good idea. And so I began praying on the armor. Went over, left the office, went over to visit her, knocked on the door. She invited us in. As soon as we got in the house, this is the first thing she said. I see you have your armor on. And I'm thinking, did I get it all? Did I get it all? Did I get it all? What about my shoes? What about my shoes? Did I get my shoes? That was in my mind. You know, we visited her. We were able to have an impact in her life because of what the Lord was doing. But I often wonder, what would have happened had I not had my armor on? What attacks would have come against me had I not had it? The Lord has given us armor, and we don't have to be afraid of the enemy because we have the armor of the Lord. Look at a couple of other passages of Scripture. Romans 13, 12 and 14 says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Listen, before you can put on, you've got to cast off, right? Before you can put on the breastplate of righteousness, you've got to get rid of unrighteousness. Before you can put on the girdle of truth or the belt of truth, you've got to get rid of the lies in your heart. Well, just a little lie is not a problem, right? Well, you can't have the belt of truth if I leave in a little lie. So, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on, say put on, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. So I'm going to say armor up. Turn to your neighbor and say armor up. Armor up. Now, we're in a battle. The reason I've been asked to go to Lincoln City on the 31st is because probably 6 weeks ago I went down there to do a prayer walk in Lincoln City, and a pastor from Lincoln City and I were out walking in the woods, which is known to be a place, a high place for demonic activity or Satanism. And we found an altar there. And so they want me to come back and kind of help with prayer and that kind of thing there. And so I here's number one thing. You don't go unless God tells you to. And because you can open yourself up for that. And the second thing is you don't go unless you're armored up and you're ready to go. And so be in prayer for me that I will hear clearly from God regarding this, because I'm not going to go unless God tells me to. So God has given us armor for protection. We have power and authority to be victorious. Learned that last week. And so we have several weapons to defeat our foe. We don't have to take it. Okay? We don't have to take it. We have authority, we have power, we have weapons that we're able to combat him and be able to overcome him. So this passage of scripture that you see on the board, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I could preach a sermon on this, but we're not going to stay long here. But here's what you need to know, that every thought you have that comes into your mind is not from God. And you need to think about what you're thinking about. And discern, where is this thought coming from? What if there's a thought that comes to your mind that this is an action I need to take, then I need to discern, is this God telling me or is this Satan telling me? And then I need to obey what the Lord is telling me and disobey and dismiss what the enemy is telling me. You need to take captive every thought. And do you know how many thoughts you think a day? Tens of thousands. Take captive every thought, bring it under the submission of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. How many thoughts have you had this morning that were not godly? You don't have to answer. But take captive every thought and bring it under submission of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about, there are more than these five weapons, but we're going to talk about five weapons at our disposal. The first one is the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God. Did you know that's what Jesus used whenever he was tempted in the wilderness? He used the Word of God to combat the temptations that Satan was throwing his way. And no matter what he did, no matter what Satan did, it was always a scripture, 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 scripture. And then after a little while, Satan's, if he has a tail, he stuck his tail between his legs and he hunkered off. Tell you what, the Word of God will defeat Satan every single time. Every time, not most of the time, it'll do it every single time. And we need to have a good grasp on God's Word. If you don't have a good grasp on God's Word, you're going to do like Eve. And Eve is going to say, the question the enemy is going to ask you is, did God really say, that you're not to do this? Did God really say that? Well, you know, probably not. He really meant this when he said that. You know, if God didn't mean what he said, why didn't he say what he meant? So we need to understand that God's Word is God-breathed. It is spoken by God himself, the human authors who wrote it down in a book, and we need to grasp it. We need to embrace it as the Word of God. We need to hide it in our heart. That's what David said. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might what? That I might not sin against you. Listen, if you want to overcome sin and temptation in your life, you need to get the word of God in your heart, embrace it, meditate on it, and hide it there so that it will always be at the forefront of your mind when temptation comes. A second weapon, powerful weapon, is the name of Jesus. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. This is a wonderful passage. Therefore, God elevated him, who's him? Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue, every knee, every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Every knee, every knee, every knee. Every knee. Did you know that means demonic spirits as well? They're going to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. Every angel, every spirit, every person. And I know most of you here this morning, I believe every one of you bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I believe you recognize Him as not only Savior of your life, but as Lord as well. But if you don't, I just want you to know that one day you will. Whether you do it in this life or the next one, one day you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, recognizing Him as the Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you ever have the occasion to do deliverance ministry, you better not leave out the name of Jesus. Okay? Because you don't have any power except through the name of Jesus. It's not, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I'm casting out. No. Nope. You better not go there. You'll be the one attacked. Every knee will bow. There are three more weapons that are mentioned in Revelation 12. And this is the scripture where it's mentioned. It's actually, there's a war. You probably remember this, where there's a war in heaven and the accuser of the brethren are standing before the throne of God, accusing us before the God day and night. And then there's a big battle and Satan is cast out. This passage says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ.'" When did that take place? I think it took place on the cross. It has come at last. Salvation, power, kingdom of our God, and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much they were afraid to die. Three more weapons mentioned here. One is the blood of the Lamb. We sing a song sometimes, there is power in the blood. Power in the blood. So I'm going to read to you the refrain, and then I want you to insert, there's power in the blood. Can you do that? All right, it's not on the board. All you have to remember is there's power in the blood. Okay? That's all you got to remember. Would you be free from the burden of sin. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood, precious blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Second verse. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus washed you, cleansed you. Before you did that, when God looked down from heaven at you, you were black with sin. The moment you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of that went away. What the Lord sees now is white as snow. Your soul being cleansed of sin in your life. And it's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Scripture also tells us that it's the word of their testimony. Believer's testimony, there is power. Did you know that when you share what God has done in your life, there's power in that? I can stand up here and preach for 30 minutes or sometimes 45 minutes. And hoping for power to transform lives, praying for that. But a person can get up here and give a 3-minute testimony, and it transforms the whole atmosphere. Just like Bob, you shared about. It does something to our hearts when we hear the testimony about what the Lord has done in our lives. If you want to overcome Satan, you want to overcome his temptations in your life, you need to remember and recall what the Lord has done for you. And you need to tell people what the Lord has done for you. We don't remember sometimes what the Lord brought us out of. We don't remember sometimes what He's taking us into. We don't remember those times. We get down, man, life is tough at times. But we need to recall what the Lord has done for us, and we need to tell somebody what the Lord has done. There is power in your testimony of what the Lord has done for you. If you don't have a testimony, we need to work on that. If the Lord hasn't ever done anything for you, you need to talk to me or somebody. A lot of times we remember the things that are tough and we go through tough times, but we need to remember what the Lord has done for us. And we need to tell somebody because it will lift us up as well as the individual we're telling. There's power in the word of your testimony. Are you down? Tell somebody how good God is and what He's done for you, and it'll lift you up. there's power in the testimony, and the enemy will just kind of like, oh man, quit doing that. Quit doing that. Quit doing that. I almost had you. I had you on the ropes. I was going to devour you. And now you start talking about Jesus. I hate that. We need to tell people, and I know a lot of the world doesn't want to hear, but we need to tell them anyway. Because they need to hear. It's good for them. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. And then the last one was, they overcame him by their love for the Lord. They overcame him by the love for their love, by their love for the Lord. The believers overcome the enemy because they love him so much. As a matter of fact, this passage of Scripture says they loved him so much that they were not afraid to die for him. If there's no greater weapon probably than your love for the Lord. No greater weapon. It's in your life than your love for the Lord. The enemy will say, well, why don't you go do this? No, because I love the Lord. That's the reason. You remember Clint Sams? He came and preached here a few times from UGM. So he won't mind me sharing this. He's pretty transparent about all of his stuff. So. He said that years ago, after he became a Christian, he worked at a mechanic. He was a mechanic. Worked in a mechanic shop, and so when he'd take a break, he'd go out and smoke a cigarette. So the Lord had been working on him about smoking cigarette, and so one day he went out to smoke a cigarette, and the Lord spoke to his heart. Clint, how much do you know? Love me enough to quit smoking cigarettes? I said that's the last time. You love the Lord. The things you're going to do for Him that you may not do for anybody else. If you love a person, there are things you're going to do for them that you're not going to do for anyone else. This weapon of not loving your life, loving the Lord. I want to ask you a question, and this is for me too. Who do you love the most? Yourself? The Lord. These individuals love the Lord more than life itself. And if we ever are going to be strong in our weapons for the enemy and be victorious in our Christian life, it's going to be because we love Him more than we love ourselves. I'm not sure if I'm there then. I want to get there. Nobody's ever put a knife to my throat and said, Dad, either you renounce your faith in Jesus Christ or you die. I would think, said, man, take me to heaven. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Hopefully that would not frighten me. Hopefully I could love the Lord even with the possibility of losing them. I want us all to get there. I want us all to get there. Here's what I know. That if we're walking in the Spirit, We have to live a spirit-fed life, a spirit-led life. If that time ever comes, you can do it. I can do it. But if you're not living a spirit-led life now, it's not going to happen then. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you this morning. But if you're here today and you've never been cleansed from your sin, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to take care of that problem. If you come to Him, if you ask His forgiveness, He will forgive you and He will wash you. Maybe you've never bowed the knee to the Lord and you've said, you've made yourself your own Lord today. Don't wait till that time in the future. Do it today. Bow the knee. Receive Him as Lord. Not just Savior, but receive Him as Lord. Have the power and the authority if you're a child of God over the enemy, over all the spirits that he brings your way. You have that power and